Lazarus, come out. After all the heartache, with all the family and the neighbors standing around, Jesus does the impossible. When Lazarus comes stumbling out of the tomb, Jesus has revealed for everyone to see and understand the truth that he is resurrection and life. You'd think that raising someone from the dead would be unambiguously acclaimed as good news. This is, after all, a revelation of God's power working through this Jesus of Nazareth. But it isn't. Some believe, but some run directly to the chief priests and the Pharisees and start the chain of events that will lead to the crucifixion of this man who has done the impossible. Some people are indeed gladdened and led to faith by this miraculous sign, their grief assuaged and their wounds healed. But others are threatened by this action because it changes the familiar pattern of the order of the world. And they resist having those set patterns that they rely on disturbed. Why is it that some people will be comforted by the resurrection that follows death, while others feel threatened and retreat into defensive postures in the security of the tomb? Today, we're left with Lazarus, beloved friend of Jesus, who had been dead, but now stumbles and fumbles from the tomb, bound and blinded by the linen burial cloths. Jesus says, "Unbind him and let him go." Jesus invites those who believe to participate in the miraculous sign of resurrection by tending to the one who had been dead, yet now lives. We in the church see this kind of thing happening all the time. We are called to witness to God's resurrection action in our lives. Seeing resurrection changes us, and we get invited into the ongoing reality of what God is doing in resurrection. I think that it happens to all of us at some point. Something in us dies. Some part of us that needs to die for new growth to occur. Perhaps a letting go of something that's holding us back. This kind of death happens as the sundry and manifold changes of the world cause us to build up defenses in an effort to hold on to the familiar ways that make us feel secure in a changing world. And sometimes that sort of death grabs hold of a community, even a community of faith. And Jesus calls to us, come out, unbind each other, and go free to carry the gospel out into the world. We've been witness to wonderful, marvelous signs of resurrection in ourselves and in our communities. And whenever we're witnesses of God's life-giving actions, we are then called to be participants in what God is doing. God enacts the sign, but we're given a part to play in it as it unfolds in our lives. And I have to wonder, where are we in the movement of this story of death, resurrection, and unbinding. Some of us at Holy Trinity have been gathering in the parish hall after breakfast, pondering this idea for about 4 weeks. We've been working our way through the ideas presented in Mark Tidsworth's book, Making the Shift, Three Big Moves for the 21st Century Church. The three big moves that we've been talking about are from member identity to disciple identity, from attractional church to missional church, from consumer church to sacred partnerships. These are big moves, bold moves, and moves that can only be made in response to resurrection. I won't go into great detail right now about all three of those moves and what they mean. But the reason that I bring this up is that one of the first tough questions that we had to address was this: what does it mean to be a church in the 21st century? What does it mean to be a group of disciples called together as part of a 2,000-year-old movement that exists to spread the gospel? What does it mean to spread good news of resurrection in a world obsessed with death? Our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, is fond of saying that we are the Episcopal branch of the Jesus movement, this movement that is 2,000 years old, of followers of Jesus. And we Episcopalians have this Anglican heritage that is an example of unbinding and moving into the future in a way that maintains the crucial connection to the roots of the Jesus movement. Our legacy is one of holding the ancient faith and tradition in balance with a willingness to adapt the expression of that faith in the face of an evolving culture. And that can be pretty scary, to think about having to adapt in a world that's changing so quickly that if you blink, you've missed a whole nother phase of evolution in the way things work. The challenges facing congregations around the country right now in all denominations are very real. Our former assumptions that young people, when they go to college and kind of drift away, are coming back when they have kids, the data don't support that. Programs and ministry are an important part of our life together, but we can no longer count on those things to draw people to the church. And when people do find their way to the church, we can no longer assume that they know the story, that they know God, that they know Jesus, that they know the creeds. We can't make those assumptions anymore. And that, for someone whose occupation is in the church, is daunting. And I'm convinced it's not just us, but that all churches who are paying attention to what's going on in the world around us, we must begin having important conversations about what parts of our common life are still life-giving and which ones are not. What needs to be unbound for resurrection to continue in our common life? I am also convinced that resurrection and new life is the pattern of the Jesus movement and has been since the beginning. And it's not going to end with us. Our world is changing rapidly, and now is not the time to retreat into the security of the tomb. Jesus calls us, come out, unbind each other, and live. Live in resurrection. Walk together in love. Participate in this life-giving and, yes, it is disruptive, miraculous activity of God. God's invitation is to come and participate in resurrection. God's invitation is also for us to take it out. Go beyond the borders of our property. Take that new reality, resurrection, into the world. Share it with others. Invite them into the new reality that resurrection creates. I believe we'll be talking for a long time about these changes, about what will need to die and what will be resurrected. God's work just won't leave us alone. It keeps working on us. We will be changed by whatever happens. And God will be with us. God will be with us every step of the way. So how will we respond when God calls us to come out and live resurrection? I suggest that the best thing we can do is to be faithful to our mission. As long as we're focused on loving with the heart of Christ, thinking with the mind of Christ, and acting in the world as the body of Christ, resurrection will continue for us and for all those people right around us who need that resurrection. So come out. Let's unbind each other and live resurrection.